ladies and gentlemen, by hella high water, we have finally returned.
Hello, high water is correct.
Taped an episode like 2 weeks ago.
No, longer ago than that.
Oh, yeah. But never got around to getting it out. And then by the time we wanted to,
the whole sports landscape had changed again.
Then we were supposed to tape last week. And then life happened. More on that. So now we're finally coming to you live and in color. Since we've last talked to you, what happened was I'm now a happily married man.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is not even, you're like, what?
It's a month and a half. We might have talked about this, that my wedding got initially canceled, then postponed, kind of in the area. Then we ended up getting married on a farm up in the boondocks of Jacksonville.
With cows.
Cows actually mooed during my vows.
Which is hilarious. That
was outdoors. Everybody was, you know, wearing masks as much as possible. You know, did all the COVID things we had to do. And it turned out to be a good time. People that couldn't come or didn't want to come, they watched it on Zoom, including Courtney.
Yep. And you'll understand why at the end of the episode.
My fiance, instead of writing her vows, she sang to me. And, you know, my wife is a very good singer, so everybody at the wedding was surprised. I was not.
Well, we're glad you know that about your wife before getting married.
We enjoyed a nice little mini moon down in Key West for a few days. We tried to do jet skis, but it was my first time driving a jet ski, and I was not very good at it, and she was not having that. She was ready to get off.
Oh, goodness. Please. Yeah, you don't need to, like, maim your wife or drown her in the first couple of weeks of marriage. I know, right? Necessarily a good look.
But for purposes related to this podcast, the best part of my wedding was me and my groomsmen. We had a, you know, while we were getting dressed, we enjoyed some pre-wedding libations and were taking shots of the Rocks tequila, Teremana. And we posted like a little video of our toast with Teremana and sent it to The Rock and Teremana. And, you know, just shooting my shot.
Shooting his shot. I can't.
Later that night, found out that Teremana, the company Teremana, responded to our video and was like, congratulations. So I was like, all right, cool. A couple days later, I wake up first thing in the morning and somebody commented on the video. It's like, oh, The Rock responded. I'm like, wait, what? So The Rock on his Instagram page posted our video and like a video of another dude who got married who gave him a toast, but mine was first. And he gave us congratulations on getting married and a word of advice.
Oh gosh, what was his word of advice?
Something about the only five words you need to say are, yes, honey, you're right. I think that's what it was. I'll go back and look at it later.
That's a good set of.
But yeah, so you couldn't tell me nothing. I woke my wife up. I was like shook her. I was like, hey, Rock responded to my post. And she was like, oh my gosh. And then every time she was on the phone with somebody talking about the wedding, I was like, babe, did you tell them that The Rock responded to them? She was like, hey, nobody care about that, okay? I was like on cloud nine. I mean, obviously because I got married, but the next best thing.
No, I feel like, because fortunately this is a little bit after the wedding. It wasn't like it was like the next day. I feel like in that week, that was the best thing that happened to you. Like, you were ridiculous.
Shout out to The Rock. That's my boy.
We know.
But anyway, what else has happened since we last came to you guys is the NBA finished their bubble with Courtney's Lakers.
Taking home the ship.
Led by LeBron Raymond James.
I'm not going to lie. It was definitely like watching the like ceremony. It was definitely like the most like anticlimactic thing ever. And it was also like it was one of those moments where you're like, the crowd brings so much to this. Like, this is actually really boring. Like, actually being able to hear the speeches and, like, the players and see them, like, what makes it fun is, like, confetti and the crowd and the all the things, and it just was not nearly as entertaining.
I think the WNBA had more confetti than the NBA did. They had confetti rain down when the Seattle Storm won their title, led by Breonna Stewart. And Breonna Stewart is just, she's very good at basketball. That girl is a monster. They're starting their next season on December 22nd, which...
I'm in shock that the players agreed to that.
I agree.
They're playing a shortened, 72-game season? Something like that?
Mm-hmm. So that gives the teams that were in the bubble only, like, a month and a half off.
Basically, yeah. I feel like the Lakers are going to phone it in for the first half of the season until, like, the All-Star game.
LA's other sports team won championship, too. I feel like I should not have been as enthusiastic about saying that because the Dodgers won the World Series at the expense of my Atlanta Braves, who are up 3-1.
Also in a bubble. That didn't work.
It actually handled itself quite well until Mr. Justin Turner decided, first of all, let's revisit. So Justin Turner found out in the seventh inning that he had COVID, which...
Right.
How did he find out?
Well,
shouldn't he have known before the game started?
Whenever he got tested last, his test results came back inconclusive. And I guess they didn't, I don't know if they didn't have the proper protocol. Like, if your testing comes back inconclusive that close to game day, like, what happens? But either way, they rushed to, like, retest him. But that's when those results came back during the game. Which is insane, but whatever.
So they took him off the field, but then the Dodgers won the World Series, and he went back out onto the field to celebrate, which apparently he didn't listen to Major League Baseball.
Or anybody. Sanity. Or anybody. Nothing.
Then took his mask off, which, what in the blue hell are you doing? I mean, here's the thing, though. There's a one half of a percent that actually understands his mindset. It's basically, look, I'm already out here. Y'all not about to stop me from celebrating a championship with the players that I've been out here with. Because if I got the virus, then they probably got it now too, since I've been with them for however long.
Agreed. I actually I'm not actually upset with him for doing it, because I think that, like, it's such a human nature, something you've been working for so long, you've been dreaming about since you were a kid, like, that whole thing, right? I'm more looking at Major League Baseball sideways. Like, your job is to stop him from doing something harmful to himself. That is your job. It is not, I mean, yes, he's an adult. Yes, he should be more responsible. But, like, if you really think about it, like, achieving the goal that you've had since you were literally a little kid and you achieve that, like, that's something that you can't even predict how you would operate. So that part, like, I can kind of be like, all right, I gave you a little bit of a pass. Taking off your mask, that just doesn't make any sense. You are literally harming the people around you, your teammates that you claim to love, that you want to celebrate with. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But I still think that one thing, like, how did he get it in the bubble? Like, somebody please explain that to me. Because I don't understand.
But it is what it is. Ain't no telling when they're starting their spring sport anyway. So
they
wouldn't even really be starting until March. And who knows what's going to happen by then.
I mean, I feel like they're going to start in March. They're just going to probably start with a minimal number of fans. And then hope that a vaccine gets rolled out not much longer after that. I mean, I feel like we're all just waiting for a vaccine. Like,
thankfully... nobody that I know of got sick or took the virus or got the virus at my wedding and took it back home with them. So, whoop whoop for that. I ain't gonna lie, I was sitting on freaking pines and needles for like 2 weeks. Like, man, oh, please, nobody call me and tell me. Please, Lord, just... The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Absolutely.
Felt like we've probably said this and then reset this multiple times in the last year, that especially with the virus that, you know, Florida State probably should have just
sat at home and not play football this year.
Yeah, get their stuff together. And, well, we are 2-6 right now.
And I, you know what I'm interested to find out? I'm interested to find out if Florida State decides that they're going to go to a bowl game. Because, like, this year there are no eligibility requirements for bowl games. So I'm interested to see if FSU decides, hey, we're still going to go because somebody will take us. And I'm just going to roll my eyes to the top of my head and just be like, but why?
After the first few games and I looked at the schedule and I'm like, you know, usually when a team has a is going downhill, you could probably pick out maybe one or two games. It's like, okay, you know, they might win that one. I was sitting here at the beginning of September. It was like, what game are we going to win in our current state? Lo and behold, it's 2 months later and we have not won any of those games. I don't think we're going to win another game the rest of the season.
Oh, I don't think we are either.
Even the horrible game teams in ACC
are better than us. I mean, it's just, we said it, that this year would be better off if FSU just did not play football this year because they don't have any of the wherewithal. They don't have the players. And, you know, in the last week, how many players transferred or, you know, left the program? I mean, you know, it just is one of those things where you're looking at this team and you're just like, there just isn't the talent there. Like, honestly, like, this team is not, and even the players are supposed to be good, like the Asante Samuels and stuff like that. Like, you're not even seeing great play from them. And so you're just kind of like.
Yeah, I think an announcer said, you know, FSU was littered with NFL talent. I was like,
on what planet?
But so, alas.
For, like, since our last episode, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were not intending to play play football this year. But then, of course.
They felt guilty. Everybody else was making them feel guilty.
They felt guilty. No, they felt envious. They felt all the things.
They got peer pressure.
Basically, because the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 did decide to play. And so then they all decided that they were going to play too. But now I just feel like it's just like a who's who of like, who's canceling this week.
For real. The SEC's biggest game of the year had to get canceled because LSU basically has no athletes or not enough athletes.
It's become a who's not playing this week. I think the ACC right now has played the majority of its games. Yep. It seems like Miami are like on the cusp every week of not being able to play due to positive test or contact tracing. So
then you got freaking Notre Dame who upset Clemson a couple weeks ago. And
well, upset is a strong word because who was not playing for Clemson?
Trevor Lawrence.
Correct.
So they beat Clemson and then in a move of just idiotic proportions where they rushed the field. Why in the middle of a pandemic you gonna rush? Look, man, y'all trying to mess it up for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, did you see? But the funniest thing was the letter that Notre Dame's president sent out.
He tried to blame the students. Have you lost your mind?
This is also the man that went to the White House super spreader event in the Rose Garden when the outgoing Trump administration, that's what I said there, had a Welcome to the Supreme Court and the Comey Barrett event. And so because she used to be a law professor at that University of Michigan, he went to that no mask and got COVID and then decided to blame a bunch of students for rushing the field. Most of the students, though, did have on masks when they rushed the field.
But the players didn't.
The players didn't. I hope they got all the players off the field as quickly as possible. But he also, like, Notre Dame also is like they were basically telling students that they couldn't go home for Thanksgiving until they got a COVID test and got a negative test back, which actually isn't like a bad thing because getting it in college and taking it home to their, you know, parents, siblings, whatever, you know, cities that if there are any places in America at this point that aren't having an outbreak, that's not a terrible thing, but either way, it was just like bad optics, dude. Bad optics.
I think they said they couldn't register for classes unless they had a negative test. I don't know how they're going to make it to a national championship. The college football playoff is not an NCAA sanctioned event, so basically, college football playoff can do whatever the hell they want. I mean, Pac-12, they're only playing 7 games. Big Ten, I mean, they on borderline. Like, if one of their games can't play one of their games because of the virus, then they're just chalking it up to a no contest. Not gonna reschedule. I mean, we talked about this last time about, you know, whether or not they have a bubble. And I mean, the NFL is different because, you know, they're professionals. But I mean, there's clearly no way for college football to institute a bubble, and they've clearly been affected by.
Well, did you see that they are trying to institute a bubble for college basketball?
I mean, it'll work, but these are student athletes, student first. But nobody seems to care about that. But
they're also cool. 18 to 22 year olds, which means they think they're invincible. Like, we all did. So I don't know what the scenario is that they're, you know what, but here's what I will say. I would not be surprised if the NCAA right now is trying to get their hands on the vaccine so that they can inoculate all of the players.
All the students.
All the student athletes for specifically for basketball, because for those people that may not realize this, I don't know how you don't, but the reality is that the NCAA makes the majority of its money from college basketball. They don't make it from football because the college football championship is not under their purview. Planning on trying to have everybody in Indianapolis.
I was looking at that and I was like, how many gyms do they? Okay, so they got, so you got obviously Lucas Oil Stadium is probably where going to be. They probably might have the regionals.
That's where their Final Four was already supposed to be, was there. And in terms of like practice space, you can put a basketball court in any hotel in America. Like, that's not hard. Let's put in a ballroom.
So you got the arena where the Pacers play. You got Hinkle Fieldhouse where Butler plays. That's not that far away from Indianapolis. Other than that, I mean, unless they're going to play at like IUPUI. I don't know if they have an arena. Because Bloomington and Purdue are like an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Indianapolis.
You can technically have them play in hotels and stuff like that because it's not here to have fans there anyway. They're doing this purely for a play because they want CBS's $1 billion. Like, that's why they're doing this. I also want people to realize that, like, you're having our college athletes, student athletes go live in Indianapolis for a month or more. So that really defeats the purpose of them going to class, especially if their schools are not in a fully virtual capacity. You know, that whole, are we sure they're students concept? Yeah. And I don't understand, though, why. Now, granted, maybe the NCAA doesn't want to pay Disney prices, but I'm like, I don't understand why you just take it to Disney.
Another thing with this is, do you think they would still have a week off in between games? Because if you're having everybody in the bubble, then you don't have to wait you don't have to wait from Sunday to Thursday to play tournament games.
I think you do from the perspective of TV time, because ultimately that's what it's about. It's about the TV time.
I guess, but I mean, I don't think anything's going to be going on during that time period where they're going to be competing with everything else during the evening.
I mean, I agree with you, but I also just, what I'm saying is I don't know what the TV time will be. I will say that I do know that the network schedules are going to play a huge part in what they end up deciding to do and how often they end up deciding to play. So, because again, this is a TV play. This is about them making money. And that's literally it.
Well, I will say this. The NFL definitely had some scares at the beginning or after like the first month of the season. But like Major League Baseball, they seem to have been, I guess, handling the virus fairly well.
I mean, yeah, they're handling it well. It's every other day. It seems like a team is shutting down practice. I mean, they're handling it as, here's the thing.
They're still able to play games.
Well, yeah, whether they should be playing games or not, yes, they're still playing games. Much like college football, they're still playing games. It's happening. I mean, it's as good as it can get, I guess, and that's fine. Yeah.
I mean, when we talked about this last podcast, the players were like, the NFL does not have a plan for our safety at all. And, I mean, that may still be true, but at the end of the day, I think both of us said the players are going to agree to do whatever because they want that money, and they pretty much put that over everything else. And
yeah,
I mean, on the field, Courtney's favorite team has two of her favorite players.
Oh my God.
When Thomas, actually, oh, make that three now. I'm sorry. Thomas Brady, Robert Gronkowski, and one Antonio Brown.
Like, every time I see something, I'm like, Smiley, why do the football gods hate me? Like, Florida State sucks. The Bucks have all these players I cannot stand. And the Colts quarterback is Philip Rivers, who I also can't stand. I was like, this combined with the fact that the Lakers have LeBron, who I like better than all of these people, significantly more. But, like, I'm just like, but why must all these people I don't like be on my favorite teams? I don't understand. I feel like I'm the only person with this problem.
You're the only person I know that has that problem. Your favorite team could be bad, like mine is, because Florida State sucks, and then the Jaguars are absolutely hot garbage.
But I'm used to that. That's okay. Like, Tampa sucked for years. It's fine.
I don't like the Cowboys, and the Cowboys suck, even though they don't have Dak Prescott. Let's see, what, Josh Allen is making this, the Bills are, what, 7-2?
I'm still waiting for the Bills for it to fall.
I know, right? That's like 2 years ago, Jalen Ramsey said Josh Allen was trash.
He's definitely not trash, but he's also not great either.
Yeah, he making it work. We talked about this off air a little while ago, but now that Drew Brees is hurt, it's officially Jameis Winston time once again in New Orleans. Look, this man is definitely auditioning for a new contract, whether yes. He happens to get that in New Orleans or somewhere else. Now, New Orleans been not trying no dumb stuff and trying, like, you know, split reps with Taysom Hill, because
you know they're going to, though.
Like, look, man, if Taysom Hill could be a full-time quarterback, he would have done it already. So don't get it twisted. This season is pretty wide open, though. And especially now that they're going to be, or the playoffs are going to include more teams.
How many teams are the playoffs including? I feel like I knew this, but not really.
As of right now, I know for sure that they're adding one more wild card team. But it's because of the virus, they floated having a bigger playoff. But I think that was contingent on them having to cancel games, which doesn't look like that's going to happen. So, one bright spot, I know you talked about the Washington football team.
Yeah.
But Alex Smith, who, for those who don't know, Alex Smith, he broke his leg like
in like 20 places
3 years ago. He was close to dying. He went from almost dying to playing again. And look, I don't know if you want to go watch the 30 for 30 on Alex Smith, go watch it. It's pretty insane what he has gone through from that injury to now.
I mean, is he gutting for punishment, or do we respect him because he decided to come back to this madness? I'm not sure which one we actually should be doing.
Player's going to play. I don't know. I feel like athletes have that mentality that they want to leave on their terms at all possible. They do not want to just, if they can help it, they don't want the game that they love to get taken away from them when they didn't have a say in it. So, you know, maybe that's his way of saying, I'm going to leave when I want to, not because of some freak injury.
I mean, yes, I definitely agree with that. I just, I get it. I get the desire. I'm just like, after injury and like your life being that close and stuff like that, like I can't imagine his wife, because I would just, I don't know that I could handle watching my husband play after watching him go through all of that, like in terms of like I just, I feel like I wouldn't be able to deal.
From a financial standpoint, when he got hurt, he had just signed an extension. So like,
he was going to get his money. This isn't about, for Alex Smith, this is not about money, because he is going to get his money, period.
And he still has like 3 years left on his deal, even after all of that. But, you know, shout out to Alex Smith. Oh, and shout out to Ron Rivera, who, you know, had cancer and beat it. So the Masters was a coronavirus, well, I guess casualty for the time being back in April. They somehow managed to reschedule it in the fall. And it was this past weekend. They didn't have any patrons on the grounds. For those who don't know, patrons is the Masters terminology for fans. The only people that were allowed were, I think, what, Augusta National members and media. And I think each player was allowed to have one guest. It worked out. Dustin Johnson, who is like my third favorite golfer.
Third favorite. That's very specific.
After Tiger and Rory, I dig Dustin, because he goes about his business. He hits the ball a long way and he wins. So
he won.
Yeah, he found. Now, funny story about Dustin Johnson. So, first of all, Dustin Johnson is the first player ranked number one in the world to win the Masters since Tiger did it in 2001. Two, the last time he was ranked number one going into the Masters, he ended up not being able to play because he fell down the stairs in the house that he was renting for the Masters and broke his ankle and couldn't play in the Masters, which is, I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So this was some like ultimate, you know, redemption.
Ultimate redemption. I love it.
Yeah. And he's engaged to be married to Wayne Gretzky's daughter. Good thing for love. This was the, finally, Tiger got to play a tournament as defending champion. I don't even know if I'll experience a greater sports moment than him winning the Masters last year, even though I couldn't watch it live. Yeah. Obviously, Tiger does not have many tournaments left, and he hasn't played well lately, but recorded his highest score on PGA Tour ever during the final round. The same hole that pretty much propelled him to victory last year, the par 3 12th, he made a 10 this year because he hit three balls into the water.
A 10. I sent Smiley a text or a DM, and I was like, a 10? I'm really confused.
Here's the thing, though. It was crazy about that. Number one, that is the first time he's scored a 10 on any hole ever in his career, which is insane because, like, I mean, these guys are good, but every once in a while, you'll have a hole that just jacks you up and you get a big number. For him to play his entire career, and especially these last 5-6 years where he has not been good at all, for him to finally score a 10 is utterly ridiculous. Second of all, after that, he proceeded to finish the tournament by birding 5 of his last 6 holes, which was like, the man is entertaining.
Well, I mean, I think everybody agrees with that. Like, yeah. Everybody. Nobody's like, oh, Tiger Woods isn't entertaining. Like, nobody's saying that out loud. I just think it's more so just hilarious that we continuously go, like, that he scored 10. Like,
I mean, and that par 3 at the Masters is, it's a hard behind hole. He definitely wasn't the only one that scored a 10. I don't know how much longer he's going to play. I didn't think he was going to play that well if he was going to be cold, because this man just has a stiff back all the time now, so if he plays in cold weather, it's probably not going to do any favors for his back. I don't know how many more tournaments he's going to play, so I'm just going to enjoy watching him play no matter how good or bad he is.
I mean, I do think ultimately, like, that's the right attitude about everything about Tiger right now, just because of, like, the fact that he is, you know, old.
So wait for him to play on the senior tour if he wants to, which is still, like, 6 years away.
He doesn't have to just play on the senior tour. He can still play the Masters whenever he wants.
So we end this episode with some good news and bad news. We give you the bad news first.
Yeah. Let's please do that.
Shout out to Alex Trebek. He's now reading questions and answers in the sky. Alex Trebek has probably had, there's no doubt that he's had a profound effect on, like, Americana for 30 some odd years. I remember sitting with my grandma every night in Georgia, like, with I had a little spiral notebook, and I used to basically keep track. I used to play along with Jeopardy, you know, keep track of my score. If I said the answer before they said the answer on TV, I gave myself credit. And of course, you know, I've shared how I was on Sports Jeopardy. And, you know, even though I did not run into Alex while I was in the studio, just I think everybody that was there, all the guys that ended up being on episodes, they kind of felt that aura of being in that studio. And you know, I mean, they got pictures of him everywhere. Jeopardy ain't going to be the same, obviously.
It's going to be interesting to see who they end up trying to replace him with.
They had a petition for LeVar Burton, which
I saw that.
I'm down with. I guess I was watching a documentary that they did a couple weeks ago, like Good Morning America, like Michael Strahan interviewed him. And I guess he had fans ask him questions. And somebody asked him, who would you want to replace you? And he said, Betty White, which I think he might have been joking. But he also, I guess in a more serious way, said a couple people, like one was like a studio analyst for the Los Angeles Kings. I think his name is Alex Faust. And I can't remember the other name he said, but it was a lady who is actually a black chick who was... I think she's in politics.
Oh.
I assume they're probably going to take a break when they finish airing his episodes, which is supposed to end on Christmas Day.
That is crazy. It ends on Christmas Day.
Rest in peace, Alex. And with death comes life.
Oh, dear God.
What a segue.
Cheesy segues. I cannot.
Now, obviously, we haven't been taping as much as we normally do.
I mean, there is a pandemic.
There is a pandemic, and as with my wedding that we talked about, like, life has just gotten in the way of us trying to do this on a regular basis, and even more so now.
Yeah.
We're going to have a future Sports is Life guest host.
And this guest host will probably, at least for the first, I don't know, several year or so, will actually just be crying. We are adding to our family. We are telling you guys super late because there is a chance that by the time this episode drops, the newest member of my household will be here, because I am at this point, what, 38 weeks pregnant, 9 months pregnant. Hey. And we'll be, I guess, bringing a adorable little girl into the world here shortly. That being said, I would say kind of who knows when our next episode is going to be. So treasure this one.
I mean, going forward, yeah, I don't know. You know, Courtney's going on maternity leave from the podcast for I don't know how long. There might be a chance that I might just have some stuff to get off my chest and I'll tape an episode by myself.
I mean, there's that chance. I don't know if I believe he'll do it, but, you know.
There's also a chance that, you know, I got people that have been wanting to co-host with me that they might co-host. So I might be doing somebody might be filling in for Courtney at some point until she gets back. So, you know, the opportunities are endless.
I mean, I love Smiley. I'll believe that somebody's going to fill in for me when I see it. But, you know, who knows? I mean, at this point, I don't even know how long I'm going to want to not be doing, like, that I'm going to want maternity leave. Like, I might want a break, you know.
This is also true.
So, yeah.
Well, that's where we're at. And, you know, we know we've been out of the game for a minute, but.
But that should explain the craziness between him getting married, me having a baby, trying to keep up with the other munchkin that runs around my house, still, you know, going to work, and, you know, a global pandemic, an election, just a lot of shifting.
But hey, if we haven't told you so many times before, just look at the title of our podcast. Sports is to life.
Yes.
All the time.
All the time.
But so with that being said, we are out. I know she's probably not going to ask me, but I will be a de facto godfather.
I don't even think we've figured out. Like, I don't think we've even talked about who the godparents are going to be for this child.
I mean, it ain't like I'm going to see the little lady anytime soon because of the pandemic, but alas.
Yeah, the pandemic. I feel like all things come back to the pandemic.
With that being said, as we leave you, take care of yourself.
Wear your mask.
And until we meet again, peas and chicken grease.
Oh, goodness. Bye.